Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you've had a twofer.
Well, I was going to have a twofer.
Oh, you didn't?
No, both of the kids decided that they didn't want to see Hotel Transylvania when we got to the theater after I had already paid for the tickets and when we were in line to get the popcorn and the drinks.
Really?
Yes.
So how does the parental deal with that?
I wasn't that wacky about seeing the movie anyways. Like, if it had have been, like, let's say if this had happened during Incredibles, I would have been upset about that. I probably would have just had them do it anyways. But Hotel Transylvania, wasn't really that wacky about the first two. So, when they did it and I was just like, well, no, I'm not going to spend, $22 on popcorn and drinks and everything
else. So you bought the tickets. They're in line for popcorn. They say, we don't want to see it. And so then do you get a refund?
Yes, got a refund on the ticket. Yeah, okay. So it's not like I'm just out of the money for the tickets for the show. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know what?
You could have told me this 10 minutes ago.
This would have been nice, like when I was like, all right, guys, we're going to go see this at 4 o'clock. Okay. I think what happened, and my pain has a name, and it is Fortnite. They were there, and they weren't playing Fortnite, and they wanted to be somewhere that they could play Fortnite.
I see.
And as a parent, sometimes you make them do things like, I don't know, clean their room, or if you think that, you know, celery or broccoli will be good for them, you make them eat that. I did not want a spoonful of Hotel Transylvania 3.
Yeah.
And when they started throwing a fit about it, and I looked at all of the money I could be saving, I said, okay, all right, let's go to the van. That'll be fine. I will get a refund for the tickets, and there. We will be done.
Did you also add, and don't ask to see this while it's in theaters again?
Oh, I did let that. On the ride home, I was like, this was it. You only get one shot at a movie. I don't have, like, repeats on that. Like, you don't get to do it. There's no mulligans here. This is it. Now, maybe when it comes out on DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, whatever, maybe. Maybe we see it then. Maybe you wait until it's on Netflix.
I think maybe, this is a wait till Netflix.
Maybe you never see it, ever.
Yeah, the first one, I was like, this is a pretty good Adam Sandler movie. Because I've enjoyed saying, I don't say blah, blah, blah. I've enjoyed saying that.
And Mel Brooks as his fun. Like, and yeah. Really, you put Mel Brooks in something, I'm going to at least, whatever amount of time Mel Brooks, like, occupies in that film, probably going to enjoy that.
The second one was, you know, just a level above a straight-to-video release. But I was like, it's okay. By the time I saw the trailers for this, it's just like, no.
I mean, I think the two of them made, I think, somewhere around like $350, $400 million. And like, I don't think they're breaking the bank making these either.
No.
So I get what, you know, is it Sony, I believe, is doing it?
And now there's a TV show, right, Anna Grace? There's a TV show? A Hotel Transylvania TV show?
Yeah,
on Netflix.
I mean, like I said, I get it, but I just, nothing about it enthused me. Like, if I want to see, like, Van Helsing fight, like, Dracula, mm-hmm. I'll go back and watch Bram Stoker's Dracula, or I'll go way, way back to, like, the 30s and 40s, and I'll watch some of those Dracula.
Yeah, or I'll watch Nosferatu.
I definitely won't watch Van Helsing.
Come on, it's hilarious.
The huge, yes, but it's not. It's an unintentional comedy. Like, oh. I
find it really funny.
Oh dear! It hurt me, like, to watch that. That man had more weapons than his character had dimensions. And I love Hugh Jackman.
Oh, like, yeah.
Generally, like, he is a very just dependable, like, actor. As far as, like, at least even if you don't enjoy the movie, you
just,
like,
saw Logan, by the way.
Oh,
real good
goodness.
Movie.
Like, oh, that was, you're going to get me off on a tangent there.
Was unprepared for all of the endings.
Man,
but
that honestly, like, that berserker rage, like, you get at the very end of the movie, I'm like, why didn't I get this thing 17 years ago? The first time Wolverine was on in a movie, live action. Why did it take 17 years to do this?
5 minutes into our review of Hotel Transylvania 3, we actually haven't seen it. So,
but I was upfront about that. I wasn't just like, meh. Well, there's some animation and there's a vampire who sounded like Happy Gilmore.
I can talk me some vampire stuff.
Right. Just not Hotel Transylvania. I'm not saying I'll never see, because I get rerouted into watching things that I don't want to all the time. But that happened to be one of those that God smiled on me that mm-hmm. day, and he said, why don't you take a nap instead? Or like, why don't you get yourself some chicken, huh? Do you want some buffalo wings?
Oh, yeah.
There you go, my good and faithful servant.
Why did they call that? Because buffalo do not fly.
I seem to remember a Domino's commercial in the mid-90s that they actually had.
Flying buffalo?
Yes, and that they had very tiny wings. That
oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I do remember that.
They would just... Avoid, and that made enough sense for me.
Avoid the Noid. Okay, however, but a movie was seen.
Yes.
It just wasn't Hotel Transylvania 3.
No.
By the way, the reviews are all...
Which, I mean, honestly, is about where the first two were as well. Like, these are not films that rely on critics just like... falling
Correct.
Over themselves, like for these movies.
Correct.
Like, what was it? Not Open Range. The one with it, it's got like a.
Open Range. Wasn't that like a Kevin Costner Western?
Yeah, that's not what I'm thinking
no,
of. Open Season.
Open Season.
That's what
yeah,
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yes. Not the animated Kevin Costner Western that.
Because
no.
that would be a totally
oh,
different
wow.
movie.
Now, that's an animated
that.
Film I would see right there.
Directed by Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
Open Range.
That would, yeah, I'd watch that. Yeah. There's a lot of animated films that they're not for me anymore. And as such, I'm just not driven to see them,
mm-hmm.
even though I literally drove to see this one.
I'm going to assume if you have an offspring age 7 or under, they would be perfectly delighted with this mediocre film.
You know, I'd almost argue that you'd probably go up to like 10 or maybe 11. Like, and honestly, as long as they don't have access to Fortnite, they might want to see it.
Yeah. And, I mean, it has made some monies. And
yeah,
clearly.
They said it's on track, I think, to make like $35, $40 million. So, like, they're not upset like I didn't go see it. Like, nobody at Sony is wringing their hands that like they're like we didn't get the Craven's bump, guys. We did not get the Craven's bump. You know what that means? And they're like, nothing. And they're like, exactly, it doesn't mean anything.
Another movie that made an obscene amount of money, all things considered, that Adam did not see was Mamma Mia 2.
Yes.
Which we can bring Hugh Jackman into the mix because
it's a musical.
It's a musical. And the last one that came out was The Greatest Showman. And so the audience that loves that, Mamma Mia 2 was their option, apparently. I would have gone for The Equalizer 2 instead. But,
that, which is what?
And I love musicals.
Equalizer 2
is
what I went for. Yes. Like
8.5 minutes in, we're going to review the movie Equalizer 2.
Didn't even realize
the equalizing.
Did not realize it was a franchise until like I saw the preview for the second one. Like I think it was the first one was what, 2014? Something like 4 or 5 years ago. Like
it was a TV show first, yes?
Yes, but
so it's the same character?
I think they share names.
Okay.
But it shares about as much to do with it as the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible franchise does with the television series of the same name.
So basically, it's a guy who evens out the score.
Yes.
Dare I say, he equalizes things.
Sometimes violently, usually violently.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually got a good quip in there before he does
it. Oh!
Not like, say, a Joss Whedon character quippy,
yeah.
but still, it's enough that you're just like, oh, man, before I break a guy's hands, I want to say something like that.
Okay. So what is the story of Equalizer 2? And seeing as you didn't see the first one.
I did.
Oh.
I
saw
the
first
one.
Oh, you just said you didn't. Okay,
well,
I
was
it.
Saying the first film has been about 4 or 5 years. I didn't realize it was a frame. I'm just saying, like, I saw the first one. I was like, okay, well, this is fun. All right. But I had no idea. Like, there was no post-credit sequence. Like, there were no rumblings of it. And then just one day, apparently I was not checking up on Denzel Washington's IMDb.
Well, and that is your fault.
There was, I didn't know that it was my job, but now I do.
I'm bothered because I personally know, as do you, people who have legit IMDb profiles. And it's like, I don't like kind of know them. I actually know them. And it's just, I feel like I should have one. Yet I've really done nothing to deserve it. But I feel like I should have one.
Or at the very least, like my picture with a like TBA, a lot of TBA.
Yes. Represented by. Yeah.
I wonder, like, is it like Wikipedia? Can you just go in there and doctor one in? Just be like, Adam Kramer.
I think you have to pay for it. I mean, I do have some legit screen credit.
I do not, but I was in a lot of plays in elementary school.
Well, I was in a lot of actual stuff.
I did some imaginary things. Yeah. That...
But I want to say that if you pay for the upper level, you can
pretty much
kind of Wikipedia it.
And just be like, I wasn't not. I saw it.
I believe.
Maybe.
Not 100%. I don't know if it's background, a SAG-AFTRA thing.
Everything I'm in is just background uncredited. Background uncredited.
You know.
You're like, Adam, that was 4 years before you were born.
It doesn't
matter.
Like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have a list of things that I was cut out of. Why, you may ask? Because of my hair.
That's a...
I have platinum blonde hair.
That sounds like a podcast in and of itself.
Because of
right
my
there.
Hair. Yep. Oh, the stories. Because of the way it grabs the light. When you're an extra, you don't want to be...
grabbing the light?
No.
There's a book in that title. I don't know what it's about, but you need to write it.
I once spent
it grabs the light.
I once spent a whole day being told, somebody cover up Jane. Stand in front of Jane.
Constant. Was this Jim? Was Jim yelling this?
No.
Cover
no.
up?
Yeah, that would have been a great story. I did get a third degree burn on that set, but... it would have been awesome if my friend, who was like six, a lot of inches after the six, he was auditioning for, what was it, Abraham Lincoln Zombie Hunter, maybe?
Vampire.
He was auditioning for that.
He didn't hunt for vampires. But in this particular adaptation,
if my friend David had been cast in that, this would be a better story.
It really would.
Because then I could say, hey, you know that movie that didn't do well? Starred my friend David, and he was the one who kept you from seeing me in this PSA.
You were the one that was covering you up and standing in front of you?
Yes, yes. Because we had to make a crowd of like 10,000, and there were about 30 of us. So to make a crowd of 10,000,
you don't have like access to like CGI?
Well,
a
wee bit, but what you do is you get... I don't know, hours and hours of takes, moving people all through the theater, and then, whoosh, you're 10,000.
Or at least 30 people made over several thousand.
But you can't be 10,000 when Jane's hair is grabbing the light.
You're just like, wow, that is a popular haircut.
That's right.
It's like the Rachel.
I bring my own halo. Anyway, 13 and a half minutes in, let's talk about Equalizer 2.
Yes.
So Denzel is in it. Who else is in it? Anyone I might know?
Not a whole lot of other people of note.
All right.
Denzel is definitely the draw here. Like, not any untalented actors, but not necessarily any marquee names.
The kind of movie you and I could be cast in or say we were in.
Yes, I could have been in the background in this movie. Mm-hmm. Easy, okay. I think. Except a lot of it is in urban neighborhoods, and I think I would have stood out. They would have had to cover me up.
Okay.
They'd be like, wow, there's a really pale white man, right? I mean, very pale.
He's grabbing the light.
He
can't.
He's absorbing the light. Here, shut your eyes. My pupils are dilating. Like,
so what's the story on this one? Let me guess. Someone's had something bad happen.
True.
And Denzel hunts peoples down to right the wrong.
That is literally exactly the plot of this movie.
And is it different than the plot of the first one?
It is not identical to it. In this one, the team that he used
in
to work
one,
with.
In this one, it's personal.
I mean,
I just wanted to say
actually,
that.
Actually, it is kind of personal. Like, you're not wrong. Like, the team that he acquired all of these... I don't want to say set of skills because
but you have to.
Where he acquired all of these skills, they have they are involved in this one. Like you kind of get to see
a team.
You kind of get to see the history of how he became how he gained these skills to equalize.
Okay.
Much in the same way that Liam Neeson like gained abilities to get people from being taken. This is how he equalized.
And yet Liam Neeson not doing a very good job. Everyone gets taken from him consistently.
Well, I mean, it was his job to he always gets them back.
Yeah.
Now, apparently there's this other guy that stops them from being taken. And that guy just ain't doing nothing.
Okay, so he doesn't have a
movie. But once people are taken, oh my goodness, Liam Neeson is all up in that.
The Untakener.
I think there is some crossover potential.
The Untakener.
I mean, honestly, just get all of the people
The Unbalancer.
Like, throw the Punisher in there. Get, like, Raylan Givens from Justified. We can get the Equalizer.
Clint Eastwood everything.
Yeah, I'm just saying, get all of these people. Like, the body count would be astronomical in these movies. They walk in and they'll be like, oh, what are you guys going to do about it? And then like Dirty Harry walks in, the Equalizer walks
ahead,
in, the Punisher walks in and they're like, oh
say
Lord,
hello to my little friend.
I am absolutely dead. What have I done? What did I do? I mean, it would definitely be rated R. Like we wouldn't
probably
be able to get around that.
I'm guessing. Unless it was a cartoon.
No.
And Adam Sandler was in it.
But all of these other people are in it as well.
Okay.
Or is he like kind of entering into it like in a Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of way?
Exactly.
I think that would be an odd direction to take this film that seems generally pretty grounded, like in a realistic
manner. But
it'd
be a surprise.
Man, would it? Like you want to do like an 11th hour like on that thing, just going, huh. Yeah. When Adam Sandler showed up as the cartoon vampire from Hotel Transylvania at the very end of
so
Equalizer,
surprised.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I did not see that coming. And I don't mean like in a Sixth Sense way. Like, where if one were intelligent enough, you probably could have put that together. I didn't even know cartoons were real within this universe. But,
oh, that's funny.
I
would watch
it. I mean, it happened and it was in the movie. Yeah. That was
so. I'm assuming we have some great car chases.
There is one in particular where a man is trying to kill him while he is Ubering him.
So the Uber driver.
Denzel is the Uber driver.
Oh.
And
okay.
The gentleman is trying to kill him multiple kinds of ways, but he foolishly decided that he could kill Denzel Washington.
You can't.
No.
No, he was in glory. You cannot kill him. So the character, the Equalizer, needed a second job?
I don't think equalizing pays well.
Okay.
Like, much in the same way that Batman does not make most of his money, or I'm going to go with any of his money. Bruce Wayne, he is 9 to 5 in that. He's making sure Batman's got all that stuff carried. Justice and just pummeling people vigilante style, not lucrative. I mean, it gives you a good sense of feeling and that you're doing things right and, you know, correcting wrongs and all that, but just not a lot of money in it.
I wonder if Bruce Wayne did not have heaps and heaps of dough and if he had not been traumatized as a child, would he have become Batman?
No.
Okay.
No. None of the... The death of his parents, like, drives him to become a vigilante, and the fact that, you know, he's a billionaire lets him have, like, hovering cars that can fire EMPs from them.
What if, though, let's have him have the death of his parents, but he's going to be a really poor vigilante?
I think he becomes more the Punisher, but, like, instead of guns, he, I don't know, has arrows and
rocks.
Slingshots.
He throws rocks.
I mean, it's a lot less cinematic.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah. I think your genesis point is definitely the parents, but not so much.
I just realized how much that is like a Disney film. You know,
like
kill
Batman?
Off the parents immediately.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was their go-to. That was their button for years.
Kill off the parents, or at least one of them.
Or, like, have one of them disappear and then kill the one that's there.
Wow. And a lot of superheroes, they start that way, don't they?
Or if it's not that, it's their aunts or uncles. Like, Peter Parker's...
They're authority
Uncle Ben.
Figures.
Yeah. Like you're their male or female kind of figures in their lives, the parental figure, if it's not necessarily their actual parent, the one that stands in for it.
So seeing as this is a bit of a backstory on The Equalizer, was he traumatized in that fashion?
No, his parents make no mention. Though if they did, I would definitely say James Earl Jones.
Oh.
Would, I mean, if you're going to give anybody, if Denzel Washington is going to have a dad, like, that man's got to have some gravitas.
Yes.
And that, off the top, unless maybe his dad is Morgan Freeman.
I'm leaning more toward James Earl.
I mean, like, I'm saying, those are really the only two that spark to mind that I'm sitting there going, yeah, I can see that.
All right.
I believe that.
Orlando Calrissian.
I don't, you want to put Billy Dee Williams in anything? I ain't going to shoot you down.
But no, Aslan.
Like, if they're just like, well, for Maleficent 2.
It would have to be Aslan.
Maleficent 2, we have fired Angelina Jolie. Billy Dee Williams is the new Maleficent. And I'm like, guys, this is a strange idea, but you have my attention.
As Lando Calrissian.
That's even better.
Because this all ties in. I've been rewatching Arrested Development.
Sure.
Which we can discuss on Binge or Cringe, where we discuss things that we stream. And the whole story of Cousin Maybe, who has become a movie executive.
Right, right.
And just the conversations are much like what Adam and I just had. It's like, I like that. You got a day to fix it. I like that. Let's do this.
That's spectacular.
Let's do it.
But yeah. Do it this way.
Yes. And it's mildly amusing. Makes me feel good deep down inside.
One of the more notable things about both of the Equalizer movies is it also pairs him with the director that finally got Denzel his Oscar win in Training Day.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the guy, evidently the two of them like to work together. Like, this will be at least their third pairing, if I'm not mm-hmm. missing. I think they were going to do American Gangster together, but for whatever reason, I think one of them wanted... the director wanted more money than they were willing to put in, so Ridley Scott filled in that particular one.
Oh, Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, him.
When you got to slum it with Ridley, like, saying, that ain't bad.
Ridley. What a great name.
And for some reason, he also did King Arthur.
Still haven't seen that.
It's terrible.
Good. Like, funny it was, terrible?
No.
Just...
Like, again, I have a kind of a deep-hearted desire, like a love for the Arthurian legend.
As do I.
And as I watched that movie, I could not have found a person less qualified to make that movie. Like he did, I think it was Brooklyn's Finest. Like mm-hmm. he usually does, like, very, like, gritty, urban, like, crime drama, like, things of that nature, just very, like, the seedy underbelly of the city kind of movies. And that is not... King Arthur.
No, he's sparkly.
That's like telling me that Steven Spielberg directed a Smash Mouth video. Like, I just, what about his sensibilities makes you think that he,
I know.
What?
I know. I also feel the same way about Tarzan films, not just because my name is Jane.
All 72 of them.
Yes. There was a time when I could name the first... 23 Tarzans, you know, from the silent era. Now I can kind of go, oh yeah, that was one, when you say it. But so many times the Tarzan story is not told like the book.
No.
At all. And the book is magnificent. By the way, Tarzan...
Edgar Rice Burroughs was no slouch.
Tarzan also spoke French before English.
Like, as much garbage as John Carter of Mars... like, caught when it was released.
Mm-hmm. And still had fun with it.
That movie is not, I think, as bad as necessarily its reputation
correct.
Suggests. But the book that it is based on influenced so much science fiction, like Star Wars to a certain degree, like Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book was written, what, late 1800s, early 1900s?
It's amazing.
Somewhere around there. Yeah. And whenever they finally brought that to the screen, people are just sitting there going, well, they're copying that from Star Wars. They're copying that from Avatar. And I'm like, well, no. Actually, Avatar and Star Wars were copying that from the literary, like, source that this is coming from.
Edgar Rice Burroughs and Jules Verne and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The imagination.
These guys knew what's... Or Charles Dickens. Like, I mean, on a, these guys, like...
I'm going to throw out Baum there, too.
Ooh. We have also forgot Count of Monte Cristo, Three Musketeers.
Yeah, Dante.
Yeah. I'm just like, that guy was the Tom Clancy of his day.
Uh-huh.
Like, Count of Monte Cristo, I think, was the one of the only books in high school that I wasn't... Didn't just feel like I was being subjected to.
Yeah, I love
like,
that story.
I read that thing, and I was just like... Like, I mean, I was reading ahead. Like, I got involved mm-hmm. in it. Like,
Read it and I thought, there should be a sandwich named after this.
Canterbury Tales did mm-hmm. not experience the same kind of anything yeah. with that.
So, in our review of Equalizer 2, right.
yes,
for the action film buff, a good one?
I don't think it does anything spectacularly outside of what you expect for the genre. I don't even know that this one necessarily requires that you see it in the theater. If it comes up on HBO Go, Netflix, you find it in like anywhere. The film itself is not bad by any stretch. I'm not discouraging anybody mm-hmm. to see it, but I don't think it's not an event. Like it does not require that you see this immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the way that like Avengers Infinity War. Like
we need to think of a new verb or phrase. For exactly what you're saying, because there are movies that like, oh yeah, I'd like to see that, but I don't want to see that and spend $50 seeing that.
Yeah, it's not that. And like I said, and I don't want to mean it in a detrimental way mm-hmm. that like you just need to skip this. Like if you like Denzel Washington, like it's a matinee, sure. Like I could see that, but like I don't think people need to rush out and like make sure that they consume this several times mm-hmm. in the theater. It's interesting. It's not necessarily forgettable, but it isn't essential.
There you go.
Non-essential?
That's what I was going to say.
There we go. Okay.
Non-essential.
All right.
Yeah. It's non-essential. All right. But watchable.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely. Denzel Washington, even at his worst, is an actor that is watchable.
Mm-hmm.
Like if everything else is just falling apart around him, you can depend on Denzel Washington to do something that is worth your time, at the very least. Like, he can't save the entire movie, but he is definitely interesting in this. I'm not sorry I saw it, but like I said, it's just, I don't think it's a film that you need to go out and see in droves. You don't necessarily need to see it on a 50-foot screen. Like,
yeah.
You don't need to go see it in IMAX. Like,
It comes in IMAX?
No. Oh. But I'm saying, like, there are films that, like, you
oh,
can
yeah.
watch.
That need to be seen.
Yeah. Like, okay, like Shakespeare in Love, like, when it came out. You did not need to rush to the multiplex.
No.
Like, and make sure that you saw that, like, in 7.1 surrounds. Like, it, you could just.
Which makes me wonder, how do people who don't get into sci-fi, fantasy, and that's about it. How do they decide when they go to the theater? Because for me, there are movies I think that need to be seen big, and it's usually pew, 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 pew. It's that kind of a movie.
The ones that kind of capitalize on the sound system,
yeah.
Like seeing everything like blown up larger than life. I mean, honestly, I forget that not everybody watches movies. Like, it's film going is not necessarily like ever a religious experience for them. Like there is a gentleman that his name is leaving me right now. He just sees everything. Like he's retired. I think he's got like a part-time job. He just goes up there and sees everything. Doesn't matter. Does not matter what it is.
Oh, so you're talking about a local guy.
Yeah. Okay. There's just new movie up there. He's going to go watch it.
All right.
Is he part of that key demographic? No. No, not necessarily. Sometimes, absolutely not. But he goes and sees it. Like, that's not me. Like, I don't want to see every movie up there. Like, there are movies that I look at and I'm just like, no. No. Absolutely no. I don't want to give up that 2 hours.
Which is why Adam did not see Mamma Mia 2.
I'm not saying that I'll never see it, but
I would say non-essential. Again,
man, that one's non-essential for me.
The first one, it was filmed in Greece. It was just beautiful. It looked like, wow, I wish I had been on that movie set for 3 months just because of where they got to be. The music I knew. The clothes were cute. But that was really about it for me. But I don't need to see that big. And so the second one, even though it has Cher, and I'm sure I'm going to like her 10 minutes of screen time, whatever she has, I don't need to see it big, but I'm sure I'll watch it eventually. So it would be non-essential to the theater-going experience in my life.
Exactly, because every film is not going to speak to every person. Like, the original Star Wars. Like, it's a film that I've seen multiple times. Like, like my aunt, I don't know if she's seen it or if she has. Like, I don't know that she knows what the droids' names are or that she ever felt like she needed to revisit it. Like, it was not that for her. And unless you're making, like, you know, $3 billion, $2 billion, like, you're probably not hitting all those quadrants. You're maybe just speaking to one or maybe two.
See, my mom, who showed no interest in those movies, we sat her down and showed them to her. I know she could name the droids they were looking for. I know she
could. She knew that those were the droids they were looking
for. Because we would quiz her. Or at least I would. I'm pretty sure it was me. Mom, you need to know this. It's important. She knows the difference between Star Wars and Star Trek. Now, she can't go deep, but she knows the difference.
But you can at least identify. Okay, well, I mean, that's...
She is 93, so that's a pretty big deal.
That's, yeah.
I don't know if she knows the difference today, but she...
She did.
She knew the difference.
At one point.
And it was important to me, and so I have spoken. So, Equalizer 2, not essential, but a pretty good movie. And Hotel Transylvania 3, who knows?
It could have been excellent.
It could have been.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Probably not.
But it could have been. So, feel free to let us know how you felt about it. We probably still won't see it in the theater, but I'm sure we'll watch it at some point.
But, I mean, we'll listen to what you're saying before we dismiss it outright.
Yes, we will. So, I'm pretty pumped up because I believe this coming weekend is...
We get to see Tom Cruise attempt to kill himself in somewhat, like... I really wouldn't... Like, let's say Mission Impossible 8, or, like, let's say they get up to, like, 12. Like... One of these movies is going to be how Tom Cruise dies.
Yeah, probably.
Like, every time, like, they're just like, oh, yeah, he actually scaled that 300-story building.
And that cliff.
Or I'm just, like, every single movie, it's like he finds another thing that they're like, Tom, there's no way they're going to get us to ensure that. There is a 117% chance you'll die during that stunt. And he's like,
well,
all right.
Hey, you know, the building.
Make sure we get it from all angles then.
The building in Dubai, that's no biggie. My friend Joe McNally did it twice.
That building
twice.
Is by definition a biggie.
It is the tallest building in the world.
Which is a
twice.
I would call that a bigging.
Joe did it twice. He's a photographer.
Did he
for National Geographic and others.
Did he video it?
Oh yeah.
And was he doing it with those glue gloves that...
Okay,
like,
no, but there's a picture of Joe at the very top of the building. This is what freaked me out more than anything else, is he's at the top of the building. He's all harnessed in. The soles of his feet are touching the edge of the building, but he is arms out on an angle
just
off the building.
Just talking about that is making my stomach queasy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I think one of the most shared photos on Instagram was what Joe took with his iPhone from the top of, why is the building, the Burj Khalifa. The top of the Burj Khalifa is just his shoes and the city below.
I'm
sickening.
I'm just going to tell you this. If I was Ethan Hunt, the mission would actually be impossible.
Yeah, it would.
Like, I'd argue at this point, they need to say, like, their mission difficult because they always seem to do it.
Yeah.
If they were impossible by definition, they wouldn't have got past part one.
And he broke his ankle in this one.
Yep.
It's okay now. And he also flew the helicopter in this one.
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Like, so...
I'm just like, I appreciate that he wants to go to those lengths to entertain us, but one day he's going to die.
What bugs me is I really... like Tom Cruise movies, but I don't want to spend time with him.
No. I want to see him as Ethan Hunt. I want to see him as Jack Reacher.
Like, yeah.
I can go back and watch A Few Good Men however many times you want to show me that movie. Jerry Maguire. Like anybody that, like when Tom Cruise went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and they were just like, blah, 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 and I'm like, listen, say whatever you want. Jerry Maguire is an exceptional movie.
Yeah, he makes great movies.
I think
he's a whack job.
I don't ever want him to visit my house.
No.
But man, I will go to the theater to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Like just as long, just don't interact with me, Tom. That's all I ask.
I think it's amazing that he can look good running, which is very hard to do.
I look horrible running.
He can look good
he
running.
He does, and he does it at least
yes.
every film, sometimes twice.
Just like John
Cusack looks
good in the rain.
I'm surprised he has not played, like, went back and done, like, based on a true story about some kind of Olympic athlete that ran.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seems like that's tailor-made for him.
It seems like he would be in Forrest Gump.
You'd assume. Or maybe, like, that's his Tom. Maybe that was the Tom that did all the, they just CGI'd in his face.
Maybe.
Tom Hanks' face over Tom Cruise's face.
See?
He was just like, no, Tom. This is how you run.
Tom Hanks, welcome at my home anytime. Not that Tom Cruise would be unwelcome, but I'd be kind of going like, oh, Adam Cruise is coming.
He's probably going to run. And he's going to want us to run.
He's going to want us to run
with
him.
And he's going to be really, really excited.
And intense.
About everything. He is going to smile. Like that
weird
15-watt smile.
Like with the vampire teeth.
Like he's got like three rows of teeth smile the whole time.
Yeah, I can't handle that.
I need somebody with chill.
Yeah. But we do love his movies. And
yeah,
the trailer alone, I've watched several times and I'm more than satisfied with it. So I already like the movie and I haven't seen it. So.
I'm pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlike Hotel Transylvania 3, which we have not seen and already don't like.
but could be exceptional.
But it could be.
We don't know.
We just don't know. Anyway, so we're very excited about that. Thank you so much for listening. The one person left, I do appreciate it. Wendy. And we'll be back again next week with Tom Cruise. Maybe here with us as a surprise.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but it probably won't.
Probably won't. You've been listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.